Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to learn about the music industry from the inside out. Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Yeah, y'all know what it is.
Get ready to hear today's newest stars of hip hop, rock, pop, R&B, gospel, and more.
That's it.
Welcome to the Ministry of Motivation. You're listening to this show through Hip Hop National Radio. I'm your host, John Lowe. This program will not be about the typical who has stopped going to church. When you talk about religious or politics, it usually put a division line between the people. I'm just an ordinary guy just want to help people with the aid of the Bible to have a more balanced life. The show is about ordinary people and ordinary pain. Not the kind you see on television, like the wives of Atlanta, a basketball wife. You know, I'm trying not to put a division line among the people, but to unite all people. I just want you to know that I walk this path with you, not as a leader, but as a companion and a friend. And the topic of the show is we defend our mistake and judge others. And the scripture that we will come from is 1 Peter, Chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. But after these breaks, we'll be right back with the Ministry of Motivation. You listen to this show through Hip Hop National Radio. I'm your host, John Lowe.
Give them praise. Come on, don't be stopped. We gon' give them praise.
You have now entered into a realm like no other.
I'ma tell y'all people right now, ain't nobody else greater. Nah. Who you know that can be named Alpha and Omega? Right. You may need a lot, but this rock got favor. Hey. Ain't no coincidence like rock scissors paper. Only one that earned king status from a prince. Nobody ever lived that can walk up in this prince. Ain't no blueprint simplified. Jesus Christ came to die. Love will make Marines holler. Hoorah, simplified. He got that power, much more than kind. Hey. This ain't alive, this is something that me conscious. Yeah, he came and died, but he rose on that thigh. Yeah. Now he's in the sky, most high with a prophet. Okay. And he coming back, white horse with the strong arm. First you're gonna hear that trumpet blaring Louis Armstrong. Right. Get your music right, don't be caught up singing thong song. No. Read up on your words too, and don't be quoting songs. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead, yeah. I get a Lord, yeah. Praise him. Yeah. Pay attention, yeah. Start repeating, yeah. It's the, yeah, end of days. Yeah. Yeah. Get down, yeah, on your knees, let, yeah, him know that, yeah, he's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. He's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. For your homie, Holy Spirit's on the inside, you're never lonely. Open up the pages of the Bible, then it shows me. I gotta live righteous, gotta live holy, gotta stay humble, but in other words, lonely. Learn about Christ, he's the life for your soul. Jesus is his name, and don't forget it, like Toby. You can't be so arrogant, imitating Kobe. When you go to the throne, but got a right to go boldly. Set the back things from the devil, that's what he owes me. Like the fact that I'm saved, I believe, cause Christ told me. Can't wait to see his hands, they still holy, yeah, from hanging on that rugged old cross for my soul. He, that's, did right, it out the love of his heart, he never owed me, and that's why, yeah, I love him, cause that's the first thing he showed me. Now check me out, yeah, go ahead, yeah, I get a Lord, yeah, praise, yeah, him, pay attention, yeah, start repeating, yeah, it's the, yeah, end of days, yeah, get down, yeah, on your knees, let, yeah, him know that he's amazing, yeah, he's amazing, yeah, he's amazing, yeah, hey, go ahead, I get a Lord, yeah, praise, yeah, him, pay attention, yeah, start repeating, yeah, it's the end of days, yeah, get down, yeah, on your knees, yeah, let him know that, Omega, the creator, yeah, the final way maker on top and ungrateful. Right. So the Satan is a lying, full-fledged hater. Okay. He can hate all he wants, but can't stop God's favor. See, God can make it possible. So how could, okay, you believe on what them doctors, yeah, do, working in the hospital? Okay. Jesus left a comforter, the Holy Ghost inside of you. Right. A filler and a healer, not a killer. He will guide you through. Serving omnipresent God that does not lose the sight of you. Yeah. If you need an open door, hit the floor and trust, okay, the Lord. He will meet your every need, humble cry. He can't ignore. Why you think God Jesus came? To pay the price we can't afford. Worthy, righteous, holy, what else is that you can't adore? And he's the same God of the future, present, and day before. When you go bananas, when your favorite team scores, you forget to leave your best.
justice to the Lord, he did more. Start repenting, it's the end of days. Get down on your knees, let him know that he's amazing. He's amazing, he's amazing. Go ahead, I get a little praise. Pay attention, start repenting, it's the end of days. Get down on your knees, let him know that he's amazing. He's amazing, he's amazing.
Welcome back to the Ministry of Motivation. You listen to this show through Hip Hop National Radio. I'm your host, John Lowe. We just got through hearing Giving Praise by Andrew Lewis. And the topic of the show is we defend our mistake and judge others. And the scripture that we will come from is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. But let me open up the show with a prayer. God, I would like to give you the glory for awakening up this morning. You have the strength to go on the battlefield of life. You enable me to find the ones that need encouragement just to get to the next level. This I pray in your son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. The scripture that we will be reading tonight is 1 Peter chapter 10 and verse 11. And it's read, it says, 10, say, for he that will love life and see good days, let him restrain his tongue from what is bad and his lips from speaking deception. In verse 11, let him turn away from what is bad and do what is good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Last week, Dr. Wrigley came on the show. He's a associated with the Muslim, and we talked about the Muslim and gave him a chance to express himself and be a representative and a voice for the Nation of Islam. So we had a pretty good time last week, so I invited Dr. Wrigley back to the show tonight, and so he can expound more about the Nation of Islam. And also give us a chance to ask some questions out there, and to ask some if you have some questions you would like to ask him, you will be able to. So, Dr. At, is Dr. Wrigley is there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I hear you. I hear you loud and clear. How you doing, Dr. Wrigley?
I'm fine. And yourself?
I'm doing fine, sir.
That's great.
Like last week, you came on the show, and I really enjoyed your conversation that you had explaining things about the Nation of Islam, and and that was another question I wanted to ask. You can help me to understand.
Yes, sir.
You were asking me about the blueprint of Louis Farrakhan blueprint about buying land, purchasing land. Could you give me a little bit more insight about the process or the format of that process? Say, for instance, if I got a question, say, for instance, I got $500 I would like to donate or whatever, a blueprint. What will I get, stocks, or what would the money go for?
Well, right now it'll be held in a bank account. And later on, there'll be a group of people set up. My understanding, some of them will be in the Nation of Islam and some will not, will be on the board of the entity that's set up that will actually do the purchasing of land and the utilization of it. You know, you got to have farmers who are going to work the land, and then you're going to have to have some people who know about processing and distribution to make the land successful. So you really got to set up a company, not just getting land, but you got to set up a whole series of businesses that will make that land successful. And it will be underneath a an entity that will be, some would be people in the Nation of Islam, some will not be, of the best minds that we can get that can help us in terms of economic development. Now, right now, I'm sitting on 1,600 acres of land, with actually 1,556 acres of land that the Nation of Islam got here in Brownwood, Georgia in 1994, and underneath the three-year economic savings program. And the three-year economic savings program is a charity within the Nation of Islam where people still are donating money into the three-year economic savings program to help us keep this 1,600 acres going and expand it. And what we have found out over the last 10 years in particular is that having land and growing raw product is not a good business model. The price that the farmer gets for the raw product is not in line with the cost that he has to pay out. And, in fact, let's show you for an example. In a loaf of bread, say a loaf of bread costs what? $3, whole wheat bread, $3, $4. How much would you guess? And a loaf of bread about a pound of wheat ground into flour goes into that loaf of bread. And in a bushel of wheat, you know, we sell our wheat by the bushel. And then people turn that into flour and make bread. Now, out of a, say, $3 loaf of bread, how much money does the wheat farmer who grows the wheat, how much does he get for that pound of wheat that goes with that pound loaf of bread? Hmm. How much would you guess? Just guess. Don't feel bad, just guess.
$5.
$5? No. How much? The loaf of bread is $3, so the farmer can't get $5. Loaf of bread is $3. Okay? So how much out of $3 does the farmer get?
Oh, he probably gets 75 cents.
75 cents. Well, you're off by a factor of 10. He gets about 7.5 cents. So out of $3 loaf of bread, the farmer gets about 7 cents. Now, isn't there something wrong with that picture?
Yeah.
A bushel of wheat sells for, a bushel of wheat is 56 pounds of wheat. And it's going for about $4 a bushel for 56 pounds of wheat. Therefore, a pound of it of wheat value is about 7 cents. Now, what's interesting is that I have sold wheat for as little as $2 a bushel out of 56 pounds of wheat. And in 1910, farmers sold wheat for $2 a bushel. As a matter of fact, I've done the analysis, and a farmer could grow a bushel of wheat in 1910, and he could sell that wheat and deal with the money from that wheat by 22 loaves of bread. Now, a farmer can only buy about 2.5 loaves of bread. So listen to what I just said now. A farmer in the 1910 could grow a bushel of wheat, sell it to the market at the farm gate price, get the money, and then go out to the store, to the bakery, and buy 22 loaves of bread. Now he can only buy 2.5 loaves of bread. There's something wrong with that.
Yeah, that's 20 loaves. That's 20 loaves.
That's pretty low. So this is what has happened to the production farmer. You can't have the bread without the wheat, okay? But the farmer gets no value for the wheat. Therefore, to get land and grow wheat and then sell the wheat at $3 or $4 a bushel, as a farmer has to do, you're just going to run yourself into the ground. You're just going to wear yourself and your equipment out. However, we have at the farm, we have a flour mill. Now, we can turn that bushel of wheat into 40 pounds of flour, sifted flour, and get $24 a bushel, $24 for the 40 pounds versus $4 just by turning the, you know, the wheat and the flour. Well, you don't get all of the wheat, I mean, all the pounds out. You lose some of the poundage in the grinding process. But it's a whole lot better getting $20 out of that bushel instead of $4. And so if you pick it in the blend, you get that much more. I'm saying all this to say this is why we're not just going to go out to get land. We also got to build up businesses that can put people to work and also make the land valuable to the people instead of being a burden on the people. There's a lot of people who have land in their family and they're just sitting idle. And because it's sitting idle, they have to pay taxes on it. And if we don't pay the taxes on it, they wind up losing it. So land that's sitting idle can be a burden. So we don't want to get land and just have it sit that idly. We have to put it to work. But then we got to have good farmers. Then we got to have people who know how to change that product, raw product, into a value-added product. Then we need people who have the stores. We need people who have the trucks, the marketing skills. In other words, an industry needs to be developed around the land and not just get the land to look at it. So this is what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan wants to do. He wants to put it back in business. Yes, get the land back. In 1910, we had bought 16 million acres of land. Now through the conniving of the U.S. Department of Agriculture and others, we're down to about 3 million or less million acres of land. And a lot of that land is sitting idle or being rented out to white farmers because of integration. We don't have any businesses anymore. We don't have the restaurants we used to have, the hotels, the schools. We don't cook anymore. You know, everybody goes out to McDuff and Murray King and Kentucky Fried, or to bring home St. Louis and stick it in the microwave. So people don't cook, so therefore everybody goes out to McDonald's. So we don't have the farmers. Black farmers can't get their product at the McDonald's. So what happens is that the market has left the black farmer without a market. And we're going to have to rebuild that. We're going to have to build some restaurants. We got to get our people back into cooking. We got to build some hotels. We got to have our own schools. We definitely need to have our own schools considering the dropout rate in the public school system. We need to have something that's going to keep our children in school and not kick them out. So these are the types of things that the Muhammad Economic Blueprint and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the Nation of Islam, are promoting. One, I get our people in business. Because they tricked us into the big cities to work in the factories, and then they closed the factories down in the 80s and the 90s and sent them all overseas to China and India and other places. And now there's no work in the city, and then they dropped the drugs in the community. I call it the crack bomb. And everybody on the corner trying to sell drugs, and then the sisters on the corner trying to sell themselves and are trying to get some type of rap video to make some money because there's no jobs in the black community. There's no manufacturing. There's no production going on. And so we're going to have to do it for ourselves because the American government and American businesses have decided that they're just going to send all the jobs overseas and let us suffer here fighting over the scrapes. So I hope I answered some of your question on that, brother, but that's the main thing. It's going to be a corporation set up with Muslim and non-Muslims, and in the meantime, the money is going to be put into a bank, and nothing will be done with it until the entity is set up and with a proper structure. So it won't be owned by the minister or, you know, just the members of the Nation of Islam. It's going to be owned by a corporation owned by black people.
Okay, so it's like I have a stock share, like 1% or something like that if I invest.
Right.
Something like that.
Okay.
So, you know, I don't know exactly the form that it's going to be in, and how we can also, whether it be to buy stock in it, et cetera. But this is what the minister told us, that, you know, we got now a little bit over $1 million over a two-year period in the Muhammad Economic Blueprint, which to me is really not that much at all. It seems like our people don't trust us or themselves, and even though we spend almost $1.3 trillion per year, and spend $365 in one weekend. The average is $365 on Black Friday, from Friday to Sunday. Black Friday, they spend about $365 per person in America. That means that black people, 40 million people, spend about $14 billion in that one weekend. But yet, we don't have that much money in the Muhammad Economic Blueprint because we just don't see the value in it, or we don't trust the nation or the minister. I just think that we just don't see the value in it, and don't believe that black folks can handle the money. And this to be real. See, black folks, they know stuff that's real, but they, when we say that the white man is our enemy, they say that we talk bad. But they know not to go in business, because they know what happens when they try to go in business on their own. They've seen what's happened. You get shut down. Okay? White folks don't patronize you. And you can't get a bank loan. Whatever inspector or agency comes around and inspects you more than it inspects the white folks and lay down some penalties on you. You know, we know the deal. You know? And so we're afraid to go for self, because we know we live in an enemy territory, and the enemy will shut you down. And yet when we say that, they look at us like we're some type of racist, but that's why they don't do nothing. So why don't they do something? Why don't black folks do something? But they don't do anything because they're afraid. And when we tell the truth about it, then they aim with us for talking about what they already know. So this is what we're trying to do, is give black people encouragement to stop wasting their money buying $20 Nike, and Nike not doing anything for us, and not even having a manufacturing plant in the community that we can work at, have it over there in Asia somewhere, paying people $10 to make the shoe, and then charge us $200.
That was another question you mentioned. That's something you had brought to my attention. You said that word trust. There's a lot of people out there have a Muslim phobic, I say it like that, you know, dealing with trust. And but one thing I learned by studying following Minister Louis Farrakhan about some of the topics that he talk about, he always talk about uniting people, all people, and all creative people. And that's one thing that I know you spoke about last week, is about Christians that came to the Million Man March. 90% of them was a Christian. And you mentioned last week about how that in the Mid East over there, the radical Muslim over there, what is y'all connection or a branch of Nation Islam to those radicals over there in Mid-East?
Well, you know, it's like this. Bill Farrakhan said, number one, we Nation of Islam in America, we don't carry weapons, and we don't advocate the blowing up innocent people. And as a matter of fact, Bill Farrakhan said that if we catch somebody with some suicide bomb on, or we catch somebody going to try to blow up something, we'll stop them, okay? Because these are our people. We are not against black Christians, okay? We're only against people who are against us. And black Christians is where, you know, we come from. I mean, I found the members of that. And as far as I can say, we're Christian anyway, because we believe in Jesus. We believe in the principles of Jesus and the works of Jesus and the live like Jesus. So we're Christians too. We're trying to be like Christ. So we're not going to kill people, blow up people just because, you know, we disagree. But we've been set up. The Muslims in America have been set up. And the Muslims in the East are being set up and played. But because they're using weapons, they wind up shooting and killing one another and starting these groups that are funded by America, given weapons by America and Israel. And they wind up killing each other and then killing some Americans. So, no, we don't go for that. We think they're being tricked. We don't carry weapons, and therefore we cannot solve our problems through killing each other. This is why when the Nation of Islam, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad departed and everybody thought Minister Louis Farrakhan in 1975 was going to be the new head. Well, it didn't happen. Instead, Elijah Muhammad's son, Wallace Muhammad, was put in charge. And there's a lot of people who thought that there was going to be, and he took a different direction. He went more towards the Arab Islamic form, the Eastern form, versus what Master Farah Muhammad brought us. And they thought there was going to be a war, but there was no bloodshed. There was no war. And we go to each other's mosques and mosques now. We don't have the same theology in terms of understanding of the relationship between man and God, and that God is a man, not a spook or spirit. They still believe that, you know, Allah is a spook or spirit. We don't believe that. But we're not going to fight and kill them over that. So we're able to still believe in Allah, in the Holy Quran. We just have a different understanding. But we don't fight and kill one another over different understanding of the same principles that we live by. So this is what we say to the brothers in the East. Will you be a positive, a part of ISIS or Al-Qaeda? Look, man, wake up. The CIA, the Mossad, the MI6 out there in England, these clandestine agencies go in and infiltrate and send in instigators to lead you in the wrong direction, and you fall for it. You cannot trust Shaitan. You cannot take their money. You cannot buy their weapons and still think that you are fighting them. No. Follow the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and let's handle this in peace unless we're attacked. But don't go out to kill innocent people. Only fight with those who fight with you. That's the Holy Quran, and this is what we teach and what we advocate.
Dr. Wrigley, with that you spoke, I'm going to open the line up to any callers out there that have a question for Dr. Wrigley. Your line is open. State your name and where you're calling in.
Hello, this is Ricky in air code 229. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you, Brother Ricky. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing great. I want to thank you for your show today, and you all have a great topic. I want to welcome your guest speaker, your guest commentator that you have there. Brother John Lowe, you raised some interesting questions, and the doctor there, he answered them quite well. In fact, his answers to your question, especially the latter part of the question, and one question was going to be, the last question that you asked him was going to actually be my question. And that question is, again, how is one to be able to differentiate the Nation of Islam between the Islamic State in the Middle East? And he expounded that quite perfectly and gave a good explanation of that. I guess the only remaining question that I would have is, to what extent is the Nation of Islam, to what extent have they gone and trying to explain said differences to persons who like to lump or like to corral all of the Islamic nations all together? For the most part, Joe the plumber or your average white person wouldn't know the difference. And in my opinion, and this is strictly my opinion from being a man of age, that I've been around for a while, and I've followed the Nation of Islam for some years just through their existence, and I respect that. I respect their existence and the efforts that they have portrayed in society. One of my concerns is that they have not done enough to separate themselves primarily in the public eye. We all know that the vast public, other than the Islamic religion, which is probably 2 point some odd billion of in personnel, they don't even know how to pronounce the word correctly, and that's the correct pronunciation is Muslim, and they all call, and the general population call them Muslims. And that being said, they wouldn't know one set, if you will, from another. And my question has always been a great concern: is to what effort have they gone to separate themselves so they won't be lumped all in together? And especially when we are talking about the acclaimed Muhammad Economic Blueprint. If you're looking to get some participation in that, I would think that this question has to be laid to rest. And if you would expound on that, I hope I made my question clear, and I will free the floor and give the doctor a chance to expound on that.
Okay, thank you very much, Rick. I mean, that's an excellent analysis and an excellent question. And I would start off by asking both of you the question. Okay, you say in the eye of the public, how do we get the Muslims? How do we get in the eye of the public? Who is the public looking at? Who has control of their eyes?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Who has control of their eyes?
The media. So you're...
Oh, there you said it. What'd you say?
He said the media. Yes, he did.
The media. Now,
uh-huh.
They have, ever since the Million Man March, 20
mm-hmm.
years ago,
that's right.
They will not interview Minister Farrakhan.
Mm-hmm.
He's not allowed on the black campuses. Did you know that? He's been not allowed to come on the black campuses.
Mm-hmm.
He was just going to go to Charleston, South Carolina, and
mm-hmm.
they did. He wanted to go to Tennessee State, and then he reneged it first a couple of years ago, and the later students brought him on. Whenever the media is not controlled by the black people, we have our own media. It's called Muhammad's the Final Call newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
We have a website, NOI.org. If you really want to know about the Nation of Islam, go to NOI.org. And on that, it explains us. The Minister Farrakhan has a whole 58 series
mm-hmm.
explaining from the top to bottom the theology and the understanding of history of the Nation of Islam. 58 weeks, 1 hour segments, is all on YouTube. So just simply go
mm-hmm.
to the time and what must be done. And also, for justice or else, he's been going around the country and giving lectures leading up to the 20th anniversary of the Million Man March, and those are available on demand on YouTube at no cost. You go
mm-hmm.
to Just or Else, and you go into the archives, you can see all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the hits,
mm-hmm.
you may see 20,000, 30,000, okay? But you let Beyonce take her clothes off.
Mm-hmm.
You get a million, 2 million hits. You let
uh-huh.
Nicki Minaj take her clothes off and see how many hits she gets. So why do you think that they put the naked black woman out front like this is to get hits? In other words, to control the people's eyes, to control their mind. This
mm-hmm.
is what we have been trying to do for 70 years
mm-hmm.
or more, is to get the information to our people. Now let's go to one specific incident. The Million Man March, okay? Mr. Farrakhan called for almost 2 million men showed up. They're still lying about the number. They say it was less than a million.
Mm-hmm.
90% of the people who came were non-Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happened in 2001? on 911. I was sitting here that morning watching it on TV.
Mm-hmm.
You had these two buildings that came down in plain sight. And they said that this was done by Islamic terrorists. Now, let's say in a home, you have a brother who's a priest, and the brother talks bad about the government, but he's a priest. He don't carry no weapons. He don't believe in attacking nobody. So if I want to get to him, how do I get to him? Well, suppose he has a brother who I can get to, who I can lead in the wrong direction. And then they associate my brother with me. This is what they have done. Not us, not even Al-Qaeda, that they've been suckers for it. They know the Nation of Islam is a nation of peace, unless you attack us. They also know that we want to separate from this government, from these people, because they have proven to be our enemies. And like I said, we're living amongst enemies. So how do they get at us? They can't get at us by putting us in jail for stealing because we don't steal. They can't get at us for killing somebody because we don't have guns. We don't even carry knives. They hate us because of what we say. They can't disprove what we say. But what they have done is associated us with some people who they have made pariahs in the eyes of the world. There's no way that a fire from fuel from two jet aircraft could have brought those two buildings down in their own footprint. And you may or may not know that at 5:20 on the same day, building number 7 in the World Trade Center complex, 47 stories high, it went down in the same manner as the other two buildings, but it was not hit by an airplane. So why did it go down? Well, it went down because the plane that was supposed to hit it went down in Pennsylvania. The building was rigged with the same bombs that were in buildings 1 and 2. Rigged way beforehand.
May I interject?
The buildings down. Now, let me finish this. Had to take the buildings down before they would not be discovered about the weapons, the bombs that were placed in there. Then they would know that could not have been done by no Arabs. It had been an inside job. So now we have been associated with Muslims, these terrorists, who in fact were set up in a false flag operation by the United States government and by Israel. And so now we have to clean ourselves of the foul odor that was put on us by a false flag operation. So we have done as much as we can, but we can't get in the media. So I thank the Brother Lowe for having me on. They don't allow us to come on the major media. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want us to get to our people. But you can go to YouTube and get everything you need to know about the nation if you would take the time and sit there and listen to what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has to say.
But thank you for answering the question. And the fact of the matter is, on 2 points, I understand the mission of the Nation of Islam. In fact, when you speak to a person of age, and my age is 59 years old. Actually, when you speaking to a person in my generation about what the mission is of the Nation of Islam, believe me, we already know. We know what the mission is, and we understand it, and we appreciate it, the mission that you all put forth. And I say that to say that when you're speaking to persons in our generation, my brother, and you probably close to the same age that I am, when you speak to people of our generation, you're actually speaking to the choir. You're speaking to the choir. We understand. And your points about 9/11, couldn't agree with you more. To a certain extent, to most extent, the probabilities are very high of everything you said. And I don't put nothing past the powers at hand of doing whatever they do to get their agenda across. Again, you're speaking to the choir. I understand that. My new question would be in that sense of the word is, to how far or to what extent have the nation gone to enlighten the younger generation, the younger folks, say 40, 35 and younger, who don't know much of anything about what you talked about? To what extent has the nation put on their plate as for that to be a priority?
It is our number one priority. And we've done the best that we could. That's why you see the brothers out in the corner selling the Final Call newspaper. This is our way of getting out there. Remember what I told you. Since the Million Man March, the colleges, the black colleges, have banned not only Minister Farrakhan, but Minister Ava, his national spokesperson. They banned the Muslims, period, from coming on campus to talk to our people. Did you hear
what
I said?
That is?
Huh?
Why do you think that is?
We know why it is. Are you ready for the answer?
I am.
Most of our black colleges are not economically self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
They depend a lot on white philanthropy.
That's a good point.
From the corporations. And in particular, Jewish white philanthropy.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that whenever an invitation goes out to the minister. We had it happen in Tuskegee. For him to come to the campus, the Jews write a letter or get on the phone to the president of the college and the board of that college and tell them, if you let Farrakhan in, you won't get that new building.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you a question. Now that sounds like a business move from the white philanthropy. And that's a business move. And so if that being said, if that's a business move, what would you expect the college to do?
Exactly what they've done is disinvite the minister. They poke out.
Mm-hmm.
So if the minister can't speak to the youth, how can the youth hear the minister?
I understand.
I mean, we can do, what can we do? You say you're the choir, but we haven't heard the choir singing.
Well, the choir is singing. The choir is singing. The choir is singing on this radio program
right
on a weekly
basis.
Yeah,
singing. But if the choir was singing in the black community, then our youth would know. Let me tell you something about what happened behind integration. And you can answer me this if you think. When we decided to integrate, you are my generation. I'm 64.
I am. Okay, I'm right along with you. Go ahead. I'm in the ballpark.
Good
question.
What we decided to do as a nation, listen very carefully, is not to teach our children about the black struggle, because we did not want them to go to school with white folks and be angry and get in trouble. So we tried to act like nothing happened so that our children would fit in. That was
I could not disagree with you more. I mean, I don't agree. I don't disagree with you. Go right ahead.
So what I'm saying is that we have to take responsibility for the lack of knowledge that our people not only have in the Nation of Islam, but of the whole struggle. Look at what Minister Farrakhan now has brought out, if you've been keeping up, about Martin Luther King, the last 2 years of his life. Every January, February, they bring up King and they talk about I Have a Dream. But they don't talk, that was 63. But they don't talk about him when he woke up from 66 to 68. Mr. Farrakhan has gone and dug up. We've dug up those speeches. As a matter of fact, he's going to speak the speech that King was going to speak, his last speech before he was assassinated. He's got that speech, and he's going to give that speech. So you're going to find out what the media has hid from our youth about our own leadership, who they claim that they love, but they show the part that they want and hide the other part. So we have gone along with this game, and look what happened just recently. Another incident. When Barack Obama was elected president, the media and some Negro leadership were putting out the question, is this a post-racial America? Did you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Now, look what's happening now in terms of the black men and women getting shot in the back and the people walking free. And our young people getting all upset. You know, the young people thought that we were living in a post-racial America because some of us Negroes who had a few jobs making a little bit of money knew we were not in a post-racial America, but acted like we was to the youth, and the youth confused now because we didn't teach them. I'm talking about in our homes that we had a chance to teach them, but we did not teach them. Thinking that
great
maybe
point.
It'll all go away, we don't need to bring it up.
Yeah, that's
now,
a great point.
Our youth don't know nothing about our struggle because we did not teach them. And
great
so
point.
What they're looking at, you got a hundred channels on the TV. Look at what they got out there. I shut mine down. I don't have direct TV or cable, which I just got these three, four channels you can pick up from the air. You know, because ain't nothing on those 100 channels except more foolishness and something to sell you.
Agreed.
How to, now let's deal with some. Look, just, do you know one of the reasons why they killed Muammar Gaddafi in 2011? Because he spent $300 million of his money. To have the Chinese put up a satellite that was going to take the African continent from the European satellite. In other words, he was going to put up a satellite so that the Africans can talk to one another, have their own communications, their own TV programs that were not controlled by Europe. And that was, in my opinion, the main reason that he was assassinated, that he was killed, he was taken out, because he was getting ready to take the mind of the African away from the European.
Now, I'm sorry, John, did you need to come in?
Go ahead. Let me touch on
that area of conversation where you are now. That being said, and that being of common knowledge among people that read and upon persons that's in touch with world views. That being said, could that not be used as the catalyst to help educate the young people to help them understand the treachery, if I can use that word in a broad sense, that is being manipulative, a vehicle of manipulation to get things gone the way of the power, the way, and I'm trying not to use racial term, the way that the more pertinent power struggle going their way. Say for instance, the war in Kuwait, or When Saddam Hussein was killed, and it was said that the reason they went over in the first place was because of the use of chemical weapons. When in fact they found out before they went over that wasn't the case at all. But in common sense matters, the region over there wasn't recognizing the U.S. dollar as being the primary currency for to buy the oil. And we all know when a bully wants something and you don't give it to him in the first way, then naturally he takes what he wants. That being said, could we not use these analogies to help the younger people to understand what the struggle really is and what it really is all about at this present day and time in today's terms?
Okay. I agree with you 100%, but let me ask you this question.
Mm-hmm.
Where's your TV program?
Where's my TV program?
Yeah.
I discontinued.
You did.
For the same reason you did, yes.
Okay. Why?
Well, because for the most part, it's totally propaganda and primarily one-sided. I'm sick of the politics and, you know, and the primary in this region, which is the red state. I'm tired of the red state media, the GOP media that we primarily get in this region.
So Rick,
yes.
Now it sounds to me that probably you're not the only one that has suffered such a situation in terms of black newspapers, black radio stations. You know, they're all being bought up by one.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
You bought them all up. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So you know why the word can't get out,
mm-hmm.
because the people who want to give the word out are shut down. So, you know, we can only do for what we can do. In other words, we got no more power than you got,
mm-hmm.
over this system.
Understood.
You know, we can't force the media to, mm-hmm. let us on their stations. The minister can't force CBS or NBC to,
mm-hmm.
Give him a hearing. Okay? This is why the minister has already said one of the things he's going to ask for at 10-10-15 is for this year, we shut out Santa Claus. We boycott Santa Claus, and we bring Jesus back into Christmas and keep our money in our pocket. We're going to redistribute the pain that,
mm-hmm.
Martin Luther King talked about in the speech before he was assassinated, the night before he was assassinated. He had a speech in Memphis where he said it's time for us to redistribute the pain by withdrawing our economic support to those who are shown to be our enemies until they change. So the only way, we spend $1.3 trillion per year, but it's not organized. These people who we're dealing with, these white people, you can't deal with them through truth and feelings. You can only deal with them by attacking their God. And their God is money.
Mm-hmm.
When we attack their money, then they'll listen. But as long as we're spending our money with them with no repercussions, whatever they do to us, we still spend our money with them, and they're going to treat us like that. But you let us start taking their money away, taking their God from them, they will sit down and talk to us. And this is what the minister is advocating, the strategy that Martin Luther King advocated before he was killed, and that is boycott their behind.
Mm-hmm.
Cut them out. Shut them down. Let them feel the pain.
Thanks for having me on, John. And the Brother Rich, I appreciate you answering my questions. I'm going to turn it back over to John and let him.
Well, all I can say, Brother Rick, all I can say is this, Brother Rick.
Mm-hmm.
You need to find you another platform. I know it could be hard, but
mm-hmm.
you need to be back out there on the airways, brother.
I need to put what on the airways, brother? I'm sorry?
You need to be back on the airways.
Well, thank you, sir. Well,
I'd be glad to come on your program once you set it back up.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you, thank you. And through Hip Hop National Radio, this could be a stepping stone for me.
Okay, great, brother.
I'd just like to say, Brother Rick, I appreciate you coming on the show and always enlightening us with your advice. And like I say, Dr. Wrigley explained a lot of things to us that, you know, a lot of us have questions and we want some answers. And it's the same thing with the Nation of Islam walk from the out of the Million Man walk, the Million Man march, and some questions. They ask some questions. They want some answers, I mean. You know, like I say, and I just want to thank both of y'all for coming on and participating and trying to help us to come to a to get some unity and to spread some knowledge, you know. I asked Brother Wrigley to come on so that he can share and be a voice for the Nation of Islam and try to close that gap between the youth and the older heads out there, and to let them know, really, you know, start searching and finding yourself. Once you find yourself, you find who you are and where you came from in life. And like I said, I've been following the Muslim for about a year, real strong, you know, doing some research and me personally. And I came to the conclusion that they are doing some great work out there, just like getting the notification that they need for the hard work they're putting out there, trying to reach our to reach our people and to light us and to steer us into the right path in life. And I just want to commend the brother for coming on the show and explaining himself and letting people out there on the line to get a chance to ask some questions. And I just want to thank you, Brother Ricky, for tuning in.
Well, thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
And everything. But right now we're going to go to, after these breaks, we'll be right back with the Ministry of Motivation. You listen to this show through Hip Hop National Radio. I'm your host, John Lowe. I think we got something that's going on with the board. So you still online, Dr. Wrigley?
Yes, sir.
This is a TV.
I
Whatever you need to move on. Whatever you need to insert on. Cause I don't got time.
Welcome back to the Ministry of Motivation. You listen to this show through Hip Hop National Radio. I'm your host, John Lowe. And the topic of the show was, we defend our mistakes and judge others. We had Dr. Wrigley on the line, and he expounded and gave a lot of great enlightenment to us, a mentally resurrection to our mind. Dr. A.T., anything that you would like to ask the doctor a question?
Yes, I would like to ask Dr. Wrigley one question that's been on my mind. Is Mr. Wrigley, is he there? Is Dr. Wrigley there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay. The question that I would like to ask is, you mentioned earlier that black people in the community, they don't know how to hang on to money, use money. That a lot of the young folks worship false idols that, you know, instead of putting that into our community and making our community grow, we rather worship false idols and follow the trends and, you know, buy $100 Nike shoes. And I was wondering, you have any advice or anything to tell to the young folks that are listening to the show, how can they make their communities grow, especially in the black community, rather than following the trends that the media puts out and has to tell them to go buy it, or you're not in, or buy it, or nobody's going to like you. How can we as young folks figure this all out?
Well, brother, you know, that's a great question, and you asking the question, you're basically giving the answer in terms of, you know, just got to start thinking. But let me give a little history as to how we got ourselves in this condition. When I was a young man in a segregated high school in a segregated community in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, you were not judged by the brand of tennis shoes that you wore. You were judged by how high you could jump, how fast you could run in that pair of tennis shoes. Okay? We don't buy tennis shoes to jump or run. We buy tennis shoes to show off. Now, this showing off, in my opinion, based upon me living through it, happened after integration. And what I mean is this. When we are in our own black communities, we didn't know that we was poor. But when we integrated with white people, we found out we was poor compared to them, and we wanted to have some of the things that they had. For instance, when I was a young boy, when it was Valentine's, what we would do is draw up little Valentine cards to give to our little cutie. Well, what happened when we went to the integrated schools and the white boys gave them boxes of chocolate candy and Hallmark cards? Well, then our black sisters, they wanted to be treated the same. But we didn't have the money to do that. And what happened was they brought the drugs into the community. And they took the jobs out of the community. So now there's 50% unemployment among young black men, but yet they still want to have a woman. And the woman, the woman now has seen what the white woman gets, and she has equated your love for her based upon what you give her. So that's how we was turned into a consumer economy and were led into the bottomless pit of hell in prison by selling drugs. When I came down here just recently, 20 years ago, I said recently, for me that's recently, 20 years ago, I saw a brother on the corner of a dirt road and a paved road with hardly no traffic on it. I mean, I'm on a farm. I'm out in the country. And I can tell by his demeanor that he was selling drugs. Wasn't there not there but cows? But who was he selling drugs to? He was selling drugs to the children of the big white farmers. And then periodically, they'll squeal on those brothers. They wind up in jail and in the prison system, and there their life is messed up in and out, in and out, in and out. I said, well, watch this stuff. So we were led in this era of consumerism by being flaunted in our faces that we were poor. And now we think that to have a $500 Nike or whatever shows our worth. What youth need to do, and that's what I like about LeBron James. LeBron James, he didn't go to college. But when he made it big in basketball, instead of him throwing away his money and getting a lot of crooks around him as his managers of his money, he said, I saw it on 60 Minutes, and I was so proud of LeBron James. He sent his boys, when he was in high school, his boys, his posse. He paid for his boys to go to college to learn about business so that they can run his money and run his business. We have got to stick with our friends and get together and develop businesses. But you can't do that if you don't have patience, if you don't have knowledge or skill of how to build or serve. And you can't do that if you're going to be messing around with your homie's girlfriend or wife. You can't do it without discipline. If you are not trustworthy, that you're going to sneak behind your homie's back and mess with his wife or his girlfriend, then you're not going to be able to sustain a long-term relationship to do business development. This is why the Nation of Islam pushes morality and love for your brother, what you love for yourself, and stay out of your brother's bedroom with his woman so that you can have unity with your brother. So the first thing is what? Clean up your act with each other. Stop playing games with each other in terms of cheating behind your brother's back. And then learn some skills of how you can produce a product or a service, and then you all begin to invest your time and money into doing that. And over time, you can develop some businesses, and you can get an education in line with the type of business that you want to develop. Don't go to college to get a job. Go to college to learn some skills. As a matter of fact, it's probably better to go to a two-year college where you can learn some real productive skills than to go to a four-year college where they're going to BS you for 4 years. You come out with nothing really productive except how to do a resume. And learn some skills of which y'all can develop some type of business. And 20 years from now, you'll be hiring my grandchildren instead of you burying your children.
Okay, Dr. Wrigley, you have sure enough came on the show and gave us a lot of food for thought. And I just want to say, brother, I really appreciate that. We also have a show come on Monday and Tuesday, Hip Hop National. We talk about the music industry, record labels expect of these unsigned artists or to inform them to certain things to look out for. I noticed last week you spoke about the beginning of hip-hop, and you gave us some great pointers
right.
How it got started in history. But if you can find some time in your time, I know you're welcome to call in on Monday and Tuesday also and give your insight about business, because you got a great insight. And then you're welcome to call in here on Hip Hop National Radio.
Okay, what time is that program?
It's at 8 o'clock. It's 8 o'clock at the same time, the same number.
Oh, okay.
Come on Monday at 8 o'clock, Monday and Tuesday.
Okay, what I'll do, I call and I just listen in first to what y'all are talking about before I start talking about something you might not be interested in. I'll just call in and listen in to see what y'all are talking about and then, you know, see if I have anything to add to the conversation. But I really want to find out where you're coming from on some things because I do know, you know, quite a bit about hip-hop. And matter of fact, Brother Minister just was on the History of Hip-Hop since 87 interview, and it's gone viral because he said Jay-Z to ask Beyonce to cover up, and it's gone viral on the internet. So, yeah, that's a lot we can talk about. But, yeah, I listen in on Monday night, Brett.
Okay, then. I just wanted to extend that welcome hand.
Yes, sir.
To what I said, and let you know that we appreciate your enlightenment.
Well, thank you.
Have love over here.
Yes, sir.
I hate to end the show. We had such a great time tonight. Y'all tune in next week at the Ministry with the Ministry of Motivation, and help us to get the word out to the peoples and try to unite the peoples out here. Yeah. But I'm gonna end with a prayer, and we're gonna call it night. God, I would just like to approach your throne and say thank you for allowing us to come together and unite and to be able to sit down and talk to one another and try to solve some of these problems to get us on the right track to and so that we can listen and learn from each other and so that we can solve some of these problems and help one another. This I pray in your son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Y'all have a great night out there. May God bless y'all.
Thanks for coming along for the ride for another tour through the new music industry on Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop. Hip Hop. Hip Hop.